Wednesday, March 21st, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant, independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. So the recent story that's been pulling attention away from other government atrocities and wrongdoings, as is usually the plan, is the story that reveals, bombshell, Facebook has been spying on us all. And another bombshell, the government knew about it and allowed it. And it's yet again being tied back to the 2016 election. How is it that news we are all generally aware of, such as the fact that political and financial elites and even the government itself use and manipulate social media to influence your opinion and perception, keeps getting repackaged and sold to us as breaking news stories? This may be exactly the point, however, to give the illusion that mainstream media is revealing the truth, when in reality they are simply finally admitting to a story that we have been revealing for years, and grudgingly so, as we have been called conspiracy theorists for making this exact same claim not 1 year ago. So add that to the rapidly increasing list of so-called conspiracy theories that are being revealed as true. But we knew this already. Now, I'm not saying that the story about Cambridge Analytica is not important, or that the admissions that certain factions were aware of it, behind it even, is not relevant. It certainly is. But can any of you really say that you weren't already aware, to one degree or another, that this was taking place? I mean, anytime we can see proof that what we suspected was taking place is indeed happening, that is important. But why is this story eclipsing everything else that's going on, even in much of the alternative media, such as the ongoing and blatantly fraudulent escalation with Russia in regard to the Russian spy case? I think the bigger issue here is that this is seemingly being dropped at the feet of Facebook, even though we know that the government is deeply tied to all that it does. I'm happy to see Facebook fall apart, but we need to refocus this on the true culprits here, the governments that built this empire of control to begin with, and not allow one media platform and a plethora of controlled platforms used to spy on and influence Americans to take the fall alone. So let's get into what's really being overshadowed by this repackaged story. First story of the day coming out of the freethoughtproject.com, man found guilty of a hate crime for a joke video of his dog doing a Hitler salute. Now, this is a very interesting story that basically this gentleman was, he created a video, or rather trained his dog to do the Hitler salute while seeing Hitler on TV. He literally trained him to do this, and there's videos of it. But the point was, he did this as a joke to essentially piss off his girlfriend. Now, however tasteless and offensive you might find this, the fact that this man is now being found guilty of a hate crime for a joke he did is absolutely unprecedented. And it's something that sets a very dangerous precedent moving forward with all of the shifts in our culture today. Now, he's quoted in saying, "I don't actually hate Jewish people, and the video was just an insight into the darker side of my humor, a prank to annoy my girlfriend, and that I did not intend for people other than people who knew my comedy to see the video." And he apologized for offending anyone. He then noted that the Holocaust was, quote, "an awful thing and should never have happened, but we still joke about it, because in our eyes, laughing about terrible things often make them easier to deal with." And he's most definitely right, and we see this all the time. And while it's certainly in poor taste to crack jokes about tragic events throughout history, this is by no means a new thing. Comedians such as Anthony Jeselnik or Jim Jeffries or any number of other comedians out there have gone and continue to go much farther than this prank. So are they going to be arrested and charged as well? I mean, the article itself astutely points out anyone who has played Cards Against Humanity could be guilty of this exact same thing. The point here for me is this is wildly unconstitutional and shows us the real agenda behind this entirely engineered shift in our culture to allow emotions and feelings to circumvent the Constitution itself. And knowing that these emotions and feelings are entirely controlled by the media and their movement's political figureheads, just a little orchestrated and focused moral outrage can almost accomplish anything today. Our constitutional rights be damned. And that should be horrifying to us all. Moving on to the next story, also coming from the freethoughtproject.com. Cops say it is okay to attack a child for free speech, then arrests a child to prove it. Now, this is just a quick one I want to touch on that is very frustrating to see. There's video involved in this article. Basically, what happens is this 14-year-old kid got into an altercation on the way to school, or rather was in yelling match with some adult. And at the end of the day, the adult got physical with the child and a fight broke out and the kid did punch him back. But there's multiple witnesses. And the point was that the cops ultimately arrested the child under the premise that he started it and actually sent him to jail. Yet the man who was involved with this and a grown adult walked away free. And the point, this is a very unnerving case to begin with, because I mean, obviously the claims they're making is that the child is being painted as just simply a petulant child saying certain things he shouldn't have. But I'm sure that there were some much worse things that were said that aren't being discussed. But the bottom line is, regardless of what he said, it really doesn't matter. The point is, a grown man actually assaulted, choked, and punched a 14-year-old kid. Regardless of what he said, he took the physical action, which is against the law. And the police then showed up, took all of the statements, found that fact out, and then arrested the child and took him to jail. And the larger point was, once they got to jail and the rest of the department dug into the information, all the charges were dropped and the kid was let go. I mean, to me, this shows two main points. One, that the police officers there seemingly know absolutely nothing about the law and understand what's really going on. And really that there's this weird focus about criminalizing children today, and that their actions, especially in schools. I mean, I think that's where my mind is going with this, that in schools today, just general, you know, children acting out are being criminalized, and people taking to jail from school for doing things like speaking out in class and, you know, taking actions that used to be just simple detention are now being criminalized, and really just kind of facilitating this move into a criminalized police state world. I mean, in this story, I don't understand how these police can justify sending a kid to jail when a grown man attacked the kid. I mean, it's just, regardless of how, you know, terrible this kid was and how maybe he's just getting in trouble all the time, it ultimately doesn't matter. The law is the law for a reason, and they did not follow it. And I think this is a very alarming, I mean, I wouldn't say precedent because the kid didn't get charged, but just seeing this happen, it really gives you an insight into their mindset. And that's very alarming to me. Moving on to the next story coming out of the dailysheeple.com. It's an update on a story we recently covered. CDC doctor has been missing for 5 weeks. We still don't know what happened. And this was the story we covered recently about a CDC doctor who essentially said he felt sick, went home sick from his job, and then just disappeared. And for me, this stood out as alarming because he's a doctor working at the CDC, especially with all their corruption and all what's been revealed about the CDC and what, you know, knowing what they work on, different kinds. Apparently, he didn't have access to the, you know, infectious disease area. I just learned, but nonetheless, the fact that he works there and then just went missing, it stood out to me. And so now he's missing for 5 weeks. The parents have come out and said that it was very unusual for him just to not talk to them. They found his keys and his dog at home. I mean, all these signals that show that something nefarious happened. There are rather, you know, or maybe he just, you know, got hurt somewhere or something happened out of the normal. But for me, this is a very interesting case to keep track of because I theorized, and again, this is all speculation on my part, that, you know, something he may have come across or something might have happened. And again, I'm not saying that's the case, but there's reasons why we should keep track of this case, because knowing what the CDC has been involved with, especially going back to even the idea of the vaccines where they trashed all of the information and literally burned files inside of their laboratory that showed the connection between autism and vaccines. And so now we're seeing this where this man just randomly disappeared after he went home sick. I don't know. It stands out to me. So the fact that he's missing for 5 weeks and it seems like no one's really giving much attention to this other than the family seems a little ominous to me. So I feel like we should continue to keep track of this one. Apparently, there's a $15,000 reward for any information that can help wrap up the case. The family itself has raised $24,000 as a reward for tips in the case. And I'll include all this information in the show notes in case you might have information, or rather just would continue to look out and maybe help the family in any way that you can. Moving on to the next story coming out of the antimedia.org, blood of thousands on their hands. Congress votes to continue U.S.-backed Yemen war. 44 U.S. senators voted in favor of a resolution that would have allowed Congress to begin reclaiming its war-making authority and ending the U.S. military's backing of Saudi Arabia's assault on Yemen, and I would call it a genocide. It was ultimately not enough to overcome entrenched opposition from the 45 Republicans and 10 Democrats who voted against it. The article reads, Anti-war groups, while disappointed with the outcome, celebrated the vote and heralded it as an important step in terms of getting congressional lawmakers to finally assert themselves against an executive branch that has been allowed to wage war with nearly no restraint over the last 17 years. Now, some of people are claiming this is kind of a good thing. Some Congress members are standing up, but to me, this is just frustrating all around because all of them should be standing up. The bottom line is their main point of what they should do is challenging the executive branch, and especially when it comes to war. And the fact that the majority still supports this just open-ended war with absolutely no restraint it reveals a lot to us. It is good that 44 members are standing up and speaking, basically taking a stance against this. But the point they're making right here, this 17 years of unrestrained war, is something that not even the government itself openly admits to. That's what's been happening. They've been waging endless war with no restraints, regardless of what the UN says, regardless of what Congress is supposed to be doing. And yet we're seeing this happen. But I mean, it's also frustrating to see the idea with Yemen understanding what's really going on there. And that yet the U.S. government is demonizing groups in Syria. And you know, meanwhile, we have U.S. allies like Israel and Saudi Arabia carrying out open genocide, and no one seems to bat an eye, or rather there's no sanctions being levied against them. And this draws out a very important point that Congress is not doing its job. But this is an important point for us to recognize that Congress itself has essentially been taken over by these same entities that are carrying out war all across the world. But maybe we're starting to see a change. I certainly hope so. Moving on to the next story and the final for the day, coming out of WakingTimes.com, the amount of plastic in oceans will triple within 7 years, says major report. Now, this one is something we've continued to harp on, continued to show. And it's one that really is important to me that I feel like is getting absolutely no attention, like less attention than almost anything else. And to me, this is one of the most important environmental issues happening today. And showing you the video here, this is something that we've seen multiple times, but this video does such an excellent job of demonstrating just how bad the problem is and really that no one's doing anything about, especially those in positions to do so, like in the government. But we've shown videos of fish being cut open with just, you know, pounds of plastic coming out of their stomachs. And this video shows you just how bad it really is, with plastic absolutely everywhere. Many still even deny the fact that there's the plastic island the size of Texas floating around the Pacific Ocean, which we've shown many, many times. But it's something that we need to continue to draw attention to and point out the fact that the Congress and government are not doing anything to stop this. This throwaway nation, this throwaway society that we live in today is absolutely murdering the planet today, and no one's paying attention to it. For me, this is a perfect example of how we can all see a problem, watch it increase in severity, and understand the solutions with viable options available. Yet those in power are slaves to their corporate masters, and due to constant lobbying, otherwise known as bribery outside of politics, they just ignore one of the fastest growing environmental issues of today. Now just ask yourself, what else they are ignoring for the future campaign contributions that they're expecting to get? Just consider the opioid crisis and how, despite massive awareness, it only continues to get worse. How much longer are we going to allow this willful disregard for our very future, the future of our children, all for the profit of a small percentage of the population that is in the least need of that financial boost? For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything and come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.